On this Sunday morning, we celebrate Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He is the one whose voice we hear, and we follow his call because we are a part of his flock. 3 years ago on this Sunday, I preached a sermon about the Good Shepherd, and in it, I mentioned the fact that I don't actually have a very high opinion of sheep, and neither do anyone who actually works with them, because they're stupid and they're disgusting. And actually, to be in a flock of sheep is not a pleasant thing. You're crowded together with all of these woolly, loud animals, and while you're so close to them, the only thing you have a view of from your position in the flock is the butt of the sheep in front of you. And let me tell you, sheep are not the most hygienic of animals. At the same time, you kind of are unaware of the fact that you yourself also have a butt, which is being followed by the sheep behind you. So it's not a pretty situation. When Jesus is telling us that he is our good shepherd, it's not a compliment. It's not a nice thing to be in that group, and we need a leader. We need someone and something to look to. We are lost, scattered little animals. We need someone to point the way to us. Of course, a lot has happened in the last 3 years. Something terrible. We lost our flock. We learned for the first time what it means to live outside of the flock. And we learned that much like sheep, we also were not created as solo creatures. We need to feel like we are a part of something, and the isolation that we endured was intolerable, painful, so difficult. 2 years after the beginning of this pandemic, we are simultaneously still dealing with its effects and also grieving that thing that we have been living with for all this time, the separation and the pain of being separated from the flock to which we have been called. But friends, listen again to what Jesus says. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He will never abandon us. God knows each and every one of us in our own particularities, in our own difficulties, our own joys, and our sorrows. And God gathers us together as one people, not leaving a single sheep to go. This is an interesting time in the history of this pandemic, isn't it? Most of it seems to be behind us, and yet we are still dealing with a surge that's taking place in New York City. Mask requirements are being taken away, but also in other parts of our society and our life, people are learning to deal with this pandemic as an endemic part of our lives, something that won't be different. But at the same time, you've probably noticed that your flock has changed. As we're heading into this new phase of the pandemic and its post-effects, I would submit to you that now is a really good time to ponder deeply what kind of flock you want to be a part of. What place do you want to have in your various flocks in your life? And I would also say that now is a time to stop sitting on the sidelines and to start to get involved in those groups to which you truly have been called. Because once again, we were not created to be solitary animals. We belong with others. You know, during the pandemic, we had to learn to adjust. We had to learn how to be a flock in completely different ways. At work, people learned to work in teams from their own homes through the internet. At school, and by the way, those of you who are in school, I don't know how you've been doing it the last couple years. Everything from students to teachers to school staff. You have been absolutely heroic. Students, you've had to learn how to do your lessons from home without those fun friendships that the rest of us who went through school got to enjoy, and you still managed to succeed. Of course, there are so many other things that we learned to do separately. Milestones were celebrated. Funerals that we had here over Zoom. Weddings that were limited to just a few people. I will, of course, never forget Miss Thelma's 99th birthday party. Right, Miss Thelma? It was a Zoom affair only, and yet you really brought the celebration to it. But these are all memories. We noticed as our ways of being together changed, and we adapted and grew. But we no longer have to be together in that way. The thing that has changed, however, is that the people whom we call our flocks may truly have changed. I invite you for a moment to look carefully at who these people in your flock are, what they mean to you, how they might have changed. Who is there that you might not have expected to be there in the past? And who, perhaps, is no longer there? Perhaps during this period of time, you used this opportunity to reconnect with family members in a way that you hadn't before. I know that I now have a monthly Zoom call with all of my family members. And as difficult as it can be to have to look at a screen for one more hour over the course of the month, I look forward to it so much. And I don't feel as if I've been missing out on their lives. In some ways, I feel closer to them than I ever have before. Perhaps you've reached out to old friends, people whom you love but aren't in regular contact with. I know that's happened to me as well. And I feel my life so enriched because of it. Or perhaps this period of separation has taught you that it's actually okay to let go of a toxic relationship in your life. Maybe you've learned that separation can be a good thing, and that a little bit of distance actually makes you appreciate someone more. This is what I mean when I say that our flocks have changed. We've learned to have relationships in a completely different way, and that has changed who the composition of those people are. Of course, there's a particular type of flock that we all understand because we are here, and that is church. The gospel gives us the very idea of belonging to a flock. And if you haven't experienced yourself, you know that there is truly nothing like part of being a part of a church community. You really do feel like you are bound together in this spiritual communion. You know that there are people week after week who are looking for you, who want to give you a hug, who care about what happens to you. Being part of this flock reminds you that God loves you, and so do other people. No matter what. Listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. These last 2 years have been really hard for this flock. We have lost loved ones. Many people have moved away and left the city entirely. We've been separated from one another, and those just small little gestures that you experience week after week simply have not been present. And yet, we still have this Good Shepherd, the one who has held us together even in a time of difficulty like this one. I can say with absolute certainty that this is a holy flock. I will never forget on that first Saturday night when the pandemic began and the lockdown was announced, and we had to start celebrating church simply using Father Spencer's iPhone with no one else present. I went into the office of this church, and I went through the directory, and I called every single person that I thought might need a little bit of encouragement or someone that I was worried about. And almost without exception, each and every one of those people had already received a phone call from someone else in this church. That's what it means to be a part of a holy flock. Over time, we dealt with the difficulties of trying to worship together as a community. People adapted to worshiping online and dealt with the difficulties of live streaming. Folks, we are not an IT department. We try our best, and I know it's been rough at many times. But through it all, we have felt God's presence binding us together. And I will say that as a pastor, it's been particularly difficult. There are some sheep who have left the flock or gone astray. And I will tell you that these are the types of things that keep me up late at night, that wake me up out of a dead sleep and make me worry about, where is this person? How are they? What are they doing? Have I done enough? And I'd like to say that if you feel in some way that I or someone else on our church staff has not done enough for you, I am deeply sorry. This has been a difficult time for all of us. And each one of us feels hurt and pain in our own particular way. But as I said, we are turning a corner in this pandemic, and we're entering a different period of time. I can say very clearly that this is a time for the flock to begin to regather. I know that for many of us, our patterns of life have changed. It's very possible that you simply got used to worshiping from home on Sunday mornings. I know the thought sometimes when I wake up on Sunday morning of sitting around in my PJs and drinking coffee while watching church is actually pretty appealing. That might look pretty weird, though. I can also say that the minute I walk through the door of this church on Sunday morning, I feel a blast of love. And I never, ever, ever regret having come here. It may be my obligation, but there is truly nothing like being around the people of God, gathering at the altar, receiving sacraments to remind you whose you are and who you are. Now is the time for us to begin to imagine coming back and doing things together, because as wonderful as online and virtual worship are, and I'm so grateful for our online community, there is truly nothing like the incarnated reality of God's people gathered together in this church. There's nothing like looking someone in the eyes, even if the rest of their face is covered for the time being. There's nothing like being in the presence of another human being and actually receiving communion. These are fundamental to the way that we exist as human beings. And I will also say that even though there was no internet in Jesus' day, and even though I know the Holy Spirit works through the internet and online ministries, Jesus was not talking about a virtual flock. He was talking about an in-real-life flock, one where we could enjoy the warmth of being together as one body. Friends, I do think that this is a time when we should be contemplating how it might be possible for us to regather physically. There will be times, of course, when you're not able to come to church. Maybe you're traveling, or you're sick, or you're attending to something else, or you wake up in the morning and you can't make it. In previous times, that would have been the end of the story. But now you'll be able to worship online with us, even if you have to be at home. And that's amazing. That's great. But I would also say that when we deprive ourselves of the opportunity of being together in physical reality, then we're actually really losing out on something special, a gift from God, if you will. And now is the time when we've really learned what those gifts are. The lay leadership of this church, which includes medical professionals and people who were working on the front lines of pandemic healthcare, have taken extreme care in making sure that we achieved our number one goal during this pandemic, which was the health and safety of our parishioners and our guests. And I can say that we have adhered to the absolute strictest safety protocols that have been handed down from the diocese and the state of New York during the entire pandemic, and that includes right now. You might be able to get on a plane and fly somewhere warm and sunny without a mask on tomorrow, but you're not going to be able to come into this church without a mask on. I know I'm not wearing one right now, but we've actually done scientific studies to make sure that there's no way that the preacher standing in this pulpit could transmit the virus to someone even sitting in the first pew. That's how carefully we have observed this situation. I want to thank everyone for your patience and cooperation as we did so. But the reason we did it, and the reason we continue to do it, is because it's our way of living out the gospel in the midst of a plague. The health of the most vulnerable among us is the health of all of us. And the only way to honor that, to honor the safety and the value of an individual life, is for us to keep adhering to these practices for the time being, until things might possibly change. This is what it's like today in May of 2022. We have a record of 2 years behind us. And we in this church and Episcopalians around the country have taken absolute care to live out our gospel values, even while other churches and secular institutions might have chosen not to, for whatever reasons they might have, whether it's their idea of institutional perpetuation or profit or whatever it might be. We have chosen this path. And now, in the very moment when people are able to regather, this church offers people the very things that we have been obsessed with over the last 2 years. Real, true, authentic, and meaningful social connection. A spirit-filled life, making meaning out of things that have no meaning. Living joyfully in the knowledge of something that is higher than your own individual existence. These are the things that we do when we come together as a church. And it's all right here, waiting for you, waiting for us, every time you walk through those very doors. Friends, Jesus is our good shepherd. We belong in his flock. Every single person belongs to him. He misses our wool. He misses our bleats. He misses our foibles, our playfulness, and everything that we are, because we belong to him and he created us. So let us answer his call and be part of his flock. Amen.